I really like Super Tramp. I mention this almost every time we play this, but to me, this is the late bus going home after basketball practice. And you guys know how I don't like doing things I don't understand because I'm afraid I'm going to mess them up and I'll get made fun of. And there were like 8 different buses, and this one goes to Rosewood Heights first, and this one goes to South Roxana because it's the one that it's not a very good one. And like, I just remember being wet and cold from the shower after the basketball practice and really tired from running all the stairs and all the rejection I got from the coach, and then going out there trying to find the right bus and just, you know what I mean? I was an anxious little dude.
How does that affect Supertramp?
It's like a smell.
Okay.
It's like whether it's a very...
One of the buses was playing it, and it got in your head.
Yeah. It's like we were always playing whatever radio station, because there were no mix things back then. Mm-hmm. Probably, I don't know, probably not. Yeah, maybe Casey. And just driving home on the bus and being dark and dreading my run home, because it wasn't a walk, because I was scared. And so they would drop me off at the corner of Wilson in Missouri, and I had to run down Wilson, maybe 400 yards, which was okay, except that on the left of me, there were about 10 houses. Okay. On the right, there was a giant field and a cemetery.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
And
Is that what caused the running?
I screwed myself with one thought. I mean, it's a cemetery. Dead people, right? I knew that. Okay. And then one time, on an especially moonlit night, a dog came loping across that field, and it was an especially big dog. And all I could think of were people coming up out of the graves and loping, running on all fours as they chased me. And after that, here's what I'd do. I'd get out of the bus, be like, bye, see you tomorrow. And I'd start walking, and I'd quicken the pace. Then the butt demon would come. And then you just start sprinting as fast as you can. I think that's why I went to college on sports.
I was going to say, did that make you fast?
Yeah, it made me faster. I'll tell you that.
He was just a werewolf, not a zombie. Oof. That was scary.
Long way around about Supertramp. Stairway to Kevin?
Well, I guess this is weird that it's loosely related to running, not from the butt demon, but running anyway. I got a couple of sports ones, and I had a couple of Olympic ones. Do you want the silly or the serious first? Because I've got two stories.
I was going to say I want them both.
Yeah.
You can't do them at the same time.
Yeah.
Let's do serious, then silly.
Okay, so serious. The International Olympic Committee today banned the athletes from Russia and Belarus from participating in the opening ceremonies.
Did we do this last time? Has it been going on that long?
Yeah. I mean, so this has been happening with various international sporting events. And I don't know where you guys, I don't remember where you guys landed on this, but I hate making athletes punish athletes for something they have no control over. They are not the government. They are not Vladimir Putin any more than American citizens are responsible for whatever our leaders are doing. Why do we do that? Why do we punish people that have nothing to do with the problem?
I also don't get why they're banned from the opening ceremony, but they're still allowed to compete. I mean, if they're so horrible, why are they even being allowed into the Olympics in the first place?
Yeah, I mean, normally that's like the next step. So maybe this is step one. And if you don't stop that war thing because your athletes aren't going to be in the parade, like that's the other thing. Like, what do you think you're even accomplishing?
Can I hijack this for a second?
Go ahead.
So I know that time and society... civilization is not just a perfect linear line going up. Every generation we get smarter and better. But for the love of God, it's 2024. You have Putin who just won another sham election. You have a guy named Barbecue running Haiti. Like, we're not doing that great. And I know that there's statistics you can look at, and then poverty, the poverty line's never been higher, and the poorest people in the world are better than the poorest people in the world were 100 years ago. I get all that, and I can see the space station and the Webb telescope, but there's a guy named Barbecue running Haiti. I mean, we should be better than this in 2024.
Yeah.
We still have dictators.
I think that's the point. We should be better. Because it can still be better than the past when we didn't have the ability to be better. We didn't have the technology.
We were doing our best.
Yeah, we didn't have the technology. We weren't fully aware of what was happening on the other side of the world. Like, again,
watching
the documentary that I just, the first part of that documentary about the Cold War is the end of World War II, which, and we were brought into that by Pearl Harbor. We didn't know that they were all coming.
No.
Now we would know instantaneously.
No.
If there was a giant fleet of anything coming our way, we would know it. And that's stuff that you couldn't have known 80 years ago the way that we do now. That's, yeah. I think that's the good point, Dave, is we should be better than we are.
Yeah. We have the tools now.
Yeah. Technology, money.
And that goes to show you, I think, just how you could take the boy out of 10,000 BC, but you can't, you know, like humans are humans and brains are brains and we react in very predictable ways over and over again. Different stimuli, but similar reactions. And we seem to obviously fear strong men, but also love them in some weird way. Very attracted to that.
Yeah, well, they play to the fears of normal people.
Right.
And then they try to make you think that they are the answer to your fears, like yes. protecting you from your fears.
Yes.
But even that, I mean, like, you can't tell me that most people in Russia agree with the direction of the country. I mean, look, we live in a pretty good place, and we don't all agree.
Right.
You know?
You know, too, you start to think about just weaponry. You were talking about watching the frontline deal about the Cold War.
Yep.
Well, I have to believe that, again, with all the technology we have, and we're typically 10 to 20 years, we have stuff 10 to 20 years ahead of what we think we have.
Right.
How much longer can we go before we have another atomic bomb moment that hopefully us, but it could also be China or Russia or someone develops the next, weapon. Like, we're so far behind these guys. I don't know. I don't see how we can keep doing business as usual much longer. Seems like there will be a sea change. Artificial intelligence, some new weapon system, something. The Klingons land in the South Lawn. Something happens.
Yeah.
I don't see us doing this when we're old men.
Not the same way,
no.
Right? I mean, again, think of it. 80 years ago, we didn't have the nuclear threat. We didn't have that. That just wasn't a thing. What about, you know, we're 80 years later from that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, think about the way that war. I mean, that was the other thing I thought about watching that, but also watching the TV show The Masters of the Air about the bombing squadrons,
right.
The American bombers in World War II. That was only like 40 years after the first flight.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And 40 years later, you're using these massive flying fortresses
and
to drop bombs.
The V-2 rocket.
Yeah. And that was right after.
Yeah.
Crazy. We went from like pushing something off an edge.
What do you think about that? The fact that, and I know you guys know this, but just to make sure you know this, that when we beat the Nazis, we took all their best minds.
We did.
And just brought them all over. And they're like, you now live in Santa Barbara and your name is Claude.
Operation Paperclip.
Yep.
It's troubling, to say the least. I mean, it's not the least ethical thing the U.S. government has done, but it's in the top 10, 15%.
Yeah. And some of those people were full-on members of the Nazi Party.
And we wouldn't be where we are without them.
Nope.
You know?
Yep.
Couldn't have done all that
by ourselves. That would have been their argument at the time.
Yeah.
You got to be ahead of the Russians.
Would have been right.
Yep.
What's the funny part?
All right. So related to the Olympics also. Yeah. So these, you know, the Paris Olympics are coming up and, you know, they call Paris the city of love. Olympic officials are going to be supplying 300,000 condoms to the athletes at the Olympic Village.
That's the standard number.
300,000.
Yeah, mm.
And to put that into perspective, that is two a day for every athlete that's going to be at the Olympics.
So, I mean, do they just have orgies all the time?
I don't know. But I mean,
this happens every Olympics. Yeah. They're like, we got to get
it's
the protection.
It's been happening since I was a kid.
Right. Yeah. And it makes sense, right? I mean, you're talking about
a bunch of young,
but also a lot of single because they are young and they're not all married. They're all together in the same place. They're all partying. There's all kinds of, you know, excitement.
Man.
All right, settle down, Kevin.
But it's just like, that made me laugh that 300,000 is so many.
It's a lot.
It's so many, but it's not even to the point. It's not even a case where, you know what? We're going to let, they're grown people. We'll rely on them to take care of their own needs. And we're like, all right, no, we better do this for them.
You know what it reminds me of? Awesome. When NASA was sending a woman to space for a week-long trip, and they were like, how many tampons do you think you're going to need? 100? And someone had to be like, no, that's excessive.
I forgot about that.
It just, I don't know that I mean, it's, I understand it completely. It makes total sense. I'm not mocking it, because you do want to give people, you know, you want to make sure nobody's going to walk out of there with, you know, in a bad way. Right. But man, 300,000. That doesn't mean they're all getting used. That's just what's available, but still.
He's saying weird words.
We're all so young and alive.
I know, right? All like, those taut bodies, what are you going to do?
I understand it, but it's also...
Lots of sweat.
Like, they're getting more and more excited as the week goes on.
Like, you know,
it's a bunch of excitement. That's how he said it. Like Andrew.
Yeah, kind of.
I've never been in this.
You were mentioning Paris, and that made me think of you speaking French. Phoebe, the only class Phoebe is really struggling with at KU is her Spanish class.
Okay.
And she took 4 years in high school. She took what do you call it, the kind of test?
The AP test. The AP test.
And they put her in this, and it's too much for her.
Oh.
And I never took any foreign language, but I swear to God, this is true. You are the only person I know who took a foreign language and can speak it.
Yeah, I mean, and again, speaking is just a matter of practice. Like, I'm not good today, but if you put me in, like, my sister's wedding was a few years ago, and our friends from France came over, and we were all staying together. It was like one day, and I was back to like speaking with them and understand. Well, like,
why is it such a failure for everyone but you?
I'll tell you this: it's not because of me. It's because I had amazing teachers, and my uncle was our French teacher in high school, and he's brilliant. Like, he's a brilliant man who taught English in France and had great teaching ability. And in my high school, it wasn't just me. All of the guys that I was in class with are the same as me. Hmm. And I got to give the credit to that. And then, you know, in college, it was just repetitions, and it was, you know, mostly just literature classes and things like that. It wasn't even learning. You're not learning how to speak anymore.
Either of you guys take classes?
I took like 1 year of Spanish and I don't remember anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I have to think that, you know, it had to help wheels that you took that trip to France.
Yes.
And that probably like ignited something in you, and just speaking to French people, like that's what they say is the 100%. Number one way to learn a language, like way more so than taking classes, mm-hmm. like meet people who speak it and speak it.
There's
with them.
No question that that's if it's my number one is, I think it's my uncle. It's the teaching. The teaching was unbelievably high quality. But that immersion into it, where it was my second year. I'd only had 2 years of it, and you're going to go live in France for a month with another family, and you just got to get by. You got to figure it out.
It was also a real parenting moment, because while I can be as hypocritical as anyone else in the world, and I can act quite out of a great deal of hypocrisy and irony, I have trouble doing that as a parent. And Sophie was telling us about this and stressed about it, and I'm like, drop it. She's like, oh, you don't think I thought about that? It's like, it's past the day. I almost started to feign like, what do you mean past the drop day? And then I thought of the hundreds of classes that it was like, do I drop it? When's the day? Do you get a W? Do you get an I? X, Y, Z? So I couldn't give her too much crap.
Yeah. It's not, I mean, again, it's not easy. And a lot of it is the immersion. I don't speak Spanish, but I understand it pretty well because of immersion. 4 years I was surrounded by my teammates who were from Cuba, from the Dominican, from Puerto Rico, and you're learning just because you're in the middle of it all the time. Mm-hmm. So it's hard when you're not doing it that way. And it's hard for it to stick, because most people, think about it, most people that took a language, did they do that?
What, go to the country?
No,
like, just get put into the middle of it for an extended period of time where that's all you got to talk.
No.
Yeah. You couldn't got to talk. That was great English.
Yeah.
I can't even speak English.
You should stick with French.
Yeah.
426 DGS on KMOX. The eclipse, can't believe we're going to have two total eclipses within, what, like 7-8 years of each other, is coming up on April 8th. We're trying to work something out to be at a place over on the east side. We've been invited very graciously. We're trying to work that out. Have you seen all the conspiracy stuff in the eclipse?
No.
It shouldn't surprise me, but it's the kind of stuff like, they've ordered 50,000 body bags for St. Clair County alone, like that kind of stuff. You know, like all the billionaires are doing this during the eclipse, and what it really means is X, Y, Z. Like, yeah. We just can't have anything nice anymore. We can't enjoy a good planetary lunar solar eclipse. You know what I'm saying?
I'm sorry, is the implication that the purge will happen during the eclipse?
Basically.
Okay.
Yeah, basically.
In 4 minutes.
Well, it's usually something like the...
Hold on to your wallets.
The chips that are in us from the vaccine will explode in, you know, yeah. kill us when the eclipse happens.
Has anything like that ever been, not like to that level, but like Y2K, that was a bust. Mm-hmm. 2012, that was a bust, although there's a really intriguing theory that we all died in 2012, now we're going through the near-death experience. Have we ever had anything like that that people predicted? When I was very young, a very young attorney, November 2nd of 1990, I think it was when the New Madrid fall was supposed to, and they let us out of work. That's yeah. how seriously they took it.
Wow.
Yeah, we've only had one major, I feel like, event like that that came out of nowhere and was really effective, and it was COVID, and we were all like, nah, it's fake. Like, that was the one that we were like, nah, this isn't real.
Like, yeah, and George Bush tried to warn us about COVID.
Yeah, he said, we're gonna, yeah.
He said we were going to face a pandemic, and
yeah, that's the one.
The Alex Jones is obviously one of the people pushing this stuff, and he says that the eclipse is a sign from God, and that the Department of Homeland Security,
for the love,
Department of Homeland Security is preparing to hijack this biblical event.
How's it? Okay,
because it's going to be dark in the middle.
So
of the
wait
day?
A minute. So Homeland
We've
Security.
We've known this was going to happen for a very long time.
Right, but Homeland Security is going to hijack God's event.
Boy, too bad God doesn't have more power. Too bad he can't combat the Homeland Security people. 439 DGS on KMOX. Another game on tonight. We won't be carrying that one, but the Cardinals play again, I think, at like 5:10 tonight. Rach, what audio do we have?
We can start with Wheels. He has some robot audio here.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys have seen this, but this is the confluence of a robot with AI.
Hmm.
So this robot's name is Figure One, and it's powered by OpenAI and BMW. The two of them are the ones that collaborated. So it's an actual robot that can move and do tasks and have a conversation with you at the same time. So there's a person there, I think it's the journalist, who's having an interaction with Figure One in this audio. And I think it starts with the robot talking. I'm not 100% sure where we started it, but just this is about a minute, but it's a conversation between the two.
I see a red apple on a plate in the center of the table.
That's the
AI. A drying rack with cups and a plate, and you standing nearby with your hand on the table.
Great. Can I have something to eat?
Sure thing.
It handed him an apple.
Mm.
Great. Can you explain why you did what you just did while you pick up this trash?
On it. So I gave you the apple because it's the only edible item I could provide you with from the table.
Great. So, based on the scene right now, where do you think the dishes in front of you go next?
The dishes on the table, like that plate and cup, are likely to go into the drying rack next.
So,
he didn't sound that smart.
This is the average conversation
right,
between
but
Dave
did you
and
hear
I.
how yeah. it incorporated things like
Yeah, I
like,
did.
It's talking
I noticed that.
Like a human being. It's not just saying words.
Right.
And it's not just relaying ideas. But when the guy asked him, can you give me something to eat? There were plates. There was a cup. And there was an apple sitting on the counter. So the AI looked down and said, well, the only thing you can eat is the apple. So it picked it up. And it handed it over to him. And that conversation went on for a couple of minutes beyond that. And then at the end, the journalist asked the robot, Figure One, so why did we do all of the things that we did? Or how did? And it just went through and said, well, you know, you wanted an apple and you were hungry. So I gave you the apple and then put the dishes away and cleaned up the trash. And yeah, now we're all good. Everything's where it's supposed to be.
Hmm.
And what I found interesting, the most interesting is if that voice called you.
Yeah.
Speaking that way, how would you tell the difference?
I thought the human sounded weirder.
Yeah. Now, the only thing that would give it away is the pause, right? We left that in there on purpose. There was some dead time there because that was the time where the AI was processing what the person asked of it and then how it was going to respond. So there's still a little delay in that. But keep in mind, this is an actual robot. This isn't just a computer. This is in a body that is having that conversation, and it sounds like a human. it even, I mean, again, even with these little pauses and the little, like, you know, it was, you know, the only thing you could eat. Like, it's natural sounding. I both hate and like it.
I think we're going to have no choice but to like it, because just think about how far we've come from the last robot video you saw, or how far we've come between ChatGPT, like the previous version, to now. I've developed a little bit of an interest in Sam Altman, and I started following on Twitter. I just watched an interview with him last night. He recently tweeted, 2024 is going to be the most important year in human history until all the years after. And it kind of sent a chill down my spine a little bit, just like, life is going to change. All of this stuff, I mean, you can pick apart what the robot's doing. Oh, he didn't put the dishes in properly. Think of how far it has come from the beginning, and just how quickly this is going to pick up, and it's just going to take off like a rocket.
So now this, Dave, takes me back to what you were bringing up earlier when we were talking about nukes and the next thing. This is an actual robot that can move and turn. It has joints. It can pick things up. It could easily hold a weapon. It could easily try to discern the difference between enemy and friend, because that's what it's doing. It's learning the environment, and it's making a decision. A mechanical decision, but a decision nonetheless about which thing to hand the human being and all of that. Is that the next step? Not necessarily marching robots like iRobot, the movie, but that same intelligence in a tank or in a drone.
I mean, I'm just sitting here thinking that I would think it would be easier to teach a robot like this to kill than it would to serve. And so I find it hard to believe that if we have a guy that can hand you an apple and tell you why he's handing you the apple, that we don't have a guy that looks just like him that can pop your head off.
Yeah, or at least something along those lines that's working in a drone or or whatever. But, and then how much, I guess that leads to that big question, right? Because in iRobot, there are the rules, right? They have these guidelines the robots have to follow. They're not allowed to harm a human being. Do we have to have those, like, internationally, like, we need to agree on this worldwide, that, yes. Where we're like, you know what, we gotta make it so that the one thing that AI and the one thing that the robots are not allowed to do is kill a human being.
But as we see going on in many parts of the world right now, people who don't follow rules don't follow rules.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
It's like, oh, sorry, I made my robots killers.
But if you do, see, this is the problem, though. They're not just robots, they're AI. And if it's going to have that as part of it, well, then what if it just decides that's what it wants to do?
Mm-hmm. That's why 2024 is going to be so important, I guess. Evidently.
That's what he said on Twitter. I'm just,
Andrew, did you,
repeating what I read,
feel threatened by that robot, since you seem to be at the same basic?
Yeah, I did a little bit. Like, I didn't like the...
You're on the apple picker upper.
Yeah, I didn't like his attitude. I mean, like I said, this is my average conversation with Dave. Dave's like, can you hand me something to eat?
It's very familiar.
Then I give him an apple after thinking about it for a while, and he's like, now why did you hand me this? And I'm like, well...
You couldn't eat the dishes, Dave. I'm
you
like,
can't
okay.
eat this phone, right? So
all right.
Gave you an apple?
He's trying to steal your stuff. So I am a musician. I love music. I thought I knew quite a lot about music. Maybe not so much the last 20 years of music, but it turns out I don't know anything. Kanye West invented all of it.
All of it.
I've really been misled.
All of it in the last 20 years.
Yeah. That's impressive.
And then he proceeded to list only people in one particular genre of music. Yeah, that's all of it. None of the other kinds of music exist.
So he's claiming, I'm sorry, can we back up a little bit?
Yeah.
He's claiming that he invented all
music. Do you have
music?
Audio, right? Wheels, don't you have some audio?
No, I didn't pull up the audio. I just grabbed the story. But yeah, his exact quote was, I've invented all of the all of the kinds of music in the last 20 years.
Mm.
Like all of the music invented in the last 20 years was me. And it's like, well, you didn't write a country song, and you never wrote a metal song, and you didn't, like, what are you talking about?
You ever think about who you're sharing the planet with?
Yes, he is.
That we've had 200 billion human souls there, give or take, and we're sharing it with Elon Musk and Donald Trump and Kanye West and Robin Williams and Jerry Seinfeld and Bill Cosby, like... Every generation is an interesting lineup, but ours is especially...
You know, I think we need more crazy women. You just named, not like Seinfeld.
That's a good point.
But you just named off a whole bunch of dudes. It's like, hey, we need some women out there making some crazy statements like they invented all music in the last 20 years.
Yeah, you're catching up.
Bobert's trying.
You're catching up.
You know, though, what, though, on the Kanye thing, all the names that he mentioned after he named... He did, I think, probably have a pretty giant influence on all of them.
Yeah, that's. I would like to see the full quote.
Yeah, if you saw the full list,
they
think
you're
Rachel.
Fake news, Kev.
Not that he's fake news, because he did say that very stupid thing. But in the context of what he was saying and all the names they listed off, like this person, this song, this album, this person, I'm like, yeah, honestly,
well, but okay,
he's not wrong.
But this is the thing. He said he's invented all of the music in the last 20 years, but he's only talking about one kind. He's only talking about hip-hop artists.
Yeah, that's why I said it's a stupid thing for him to have said.
But that's my point. He's crazy, because that's not all the music.
He knows what to say to get a headline. I will give the man that.
Like, that. If he were to said, I was influential in every type of hip-hop music that's come along, then nobody would say a word, because, all right, you probably were.
But then no one would probably note it.
But then no one would
like,
say a word.
Yeah, duh. Yeah.
You just said it. No one would say a word.
Well, okay, so people calling you crazy and stupid is a good thing?
Yeah.
Evidently, he's a billionaire and I'm not.
So. Well, but that's no because he's talented, attention. Right? It's not because he's smart.
Oh, that hurt.
Yikes. Big yikes.
Man, everyone has a plan until you get punched in the mouth. I'll tell you guys about the Gilman team if I can eke my way through this somehow.